Louise Kentlin on Today FM.
Play the music you love here on Today FM, and what a joy it is to do another one of these takeovers. This for me now feels like a real full circle moment, because I remember listening to this fella's music when I was growing up in Limerick, and the fact he sat across from me here in studio in Today FM, I am a little bit starstruck. All I can say, Declan O'Rourke, is that you're very welcome.
Thank you, Louise. It's great to be on with you. Thank you.
Well, I'm delighted, and I'm so thrilled that you've chosen the songs that we're going to play on today's show.
You realise you present somebody with an impossible task. It's like a total conundrum, you know, to ask somebody to pick greatest 10 songs of all time. You'd need to do a thesis. You'd have to study for years to pick that. You know, it's also a great conundrum, because who doesn't love to talk about their favourite songs, or, you know, how passionate they are about things like this? So, you know, I'm delighted.
Well, do you know what I believe from having done a few of these shows so far? I believe that there must be a bit of duality when it comes to the person, because some people don't think that much about it and they say, oh, I have a funny story to tell about this song and it links me to it. But right, you, yeah. Declan O'Rourke, I feel I've three P's for you, right, from looking at your choices.
All right.
This is my synopsis of you, so far. Political, poetic, and personal.
Right.
It's brilliant. And look, I know that the nation tuning in is going to love to know as well what's going on inside the head of Declan O'Rourke and why you've made these
don't
selections.
Go in there.
We're going. Let's go. Talk to us about your first song selection.
We have A Day in the Life by the Beatles, which I reckon is, for me anyway, probably the greatest song of all time.
Wow.
Yeah, for, you know, a million reasons. It's a brilliant, brilliant song. It encapsulates an era. It was a band at the greatest band of all time, at the height of their power and their creative power, at the cutting edge of technology at that time. They were utilizing everything. It's both abstract, but it's also very realist. John Lennon had said he wanted the song to have a musical orgasm. And so George Martin is the famous Beatles producer, saying, how do I achieve that? You know, so he calls the orchestra in and he said, I'm going to start you at a certain point and then you start to climb. And just at your own time, everybody, don't listen to anybody else. You just climb to the top at your own pace, and we all have to reach this point together. And absolute chaos, but magical chaos at the same time, you know?
I'm not going to turn down a musical orgasm, Declan O'Rourke, so let's have a listen to this.
A Day in the Life by the Beatles from Sgt. Pepper's.
The Beatles on Today FM. A Day in the Life, as chosen by Declan O'Rourke, and the song that you say brings you to that musical climax.
Was Come that on. As orgasmic for you as it was for me?
Listen, they say that men and women experience it differently.
Isn't it lovely, though, that it also starts off so simply and, you know, gets to that point. Mm. It really is incredible.
Absolutely. Well, you mentioned as you were talking about it that, you know, it's a song about a real life story. I feel like you're an artist who writes and maybe is inspired a lot by real life.
Absolutely, yeah. The real life story behind that, by the way, was about an Irish man, a kind of aristocrat from somewhere around Lugalaw and Wicklow. He had these high society parties, often hosting the Rolling Stones and people like that.
Wow.
And, you know, McCartney and Lennon were there at one stage, and, you know, this guy had the world at his feet, and he ended up being killed in a car crash. And that was the guy in the song.
Wow. Mm. Good to know. You're a big reader and a writer yourself, aren't you?
I have, yeah. Written a couple of books, yep.
Does it sit nicely alongside songwriting, or is it a total different world altogether?
It was incredibly similar, actually, I found. I would have never expected that, because, you know, how vastly different they appear. But it was, you know, in a way it felt like a very, very big song.
Yeah.
To write a book, you know, it has a start, a middle and an end, you know, but you have to apply yourself in a different way. Like songwriting, you can be washing dishes or driving or in the shower, and it'll, you know, you could write it in a few hours or a few weeks or whatever it is. It can be years also, of course, but a book takes an intense amount of time, where you have to literally sit
yourself at
a desk daily, and, you know, it's much bigger discipline, but it really feels like a similar thing. Yeah
amazing. Well, fair play to you. Maybe we will come on to that as we discuss your next song choice. Tell us about this Sam Cooke selection.
Sam Cooke, A Change Is Gonna Come, A Song for Our Times. I first heard this song when I was about 11, I think. Sam Cooke is a great soul artist. He's one of the greatest soul voices of all time. And I remember actually thinking very fast, I want that song played at my funeral.
Really?
Which is really interesting. Wow. I know a lot of people who think that about this song too. It was written during the Civil Rights Movement, which Sam Cooke was very vocal about. And but, you know, it was really at the height of things, and his record company advised him. Well, they said they didn't want to release it. They weren't going to release it because it was very raw, dangerous time, I suppose. And he was then shot, and it was claimed that he was shot by somebody in a motel, and that there had been some kind of, you know, he'd been committing adultery with somebody or whatever. But there is a lot of controversy and conspiracy about what really happened, and was it the CIA or whatever, because he was very vocal about civil rights. And they ended up releasing this song a month after he died.
Okay.
And so you imagine that, imagine the power of that for his voice, for this have been his masterpiece, something about the times. You know, that conjunction of art and
politics and social justice, yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. where that's got to be art at its greatest. It's still very current, and why wouldn't it be given all of the turmoil in the world right now? Anybody who listens to it, even without knowing what it's about, feels that gravity, mm-hmm. and you sense the power of it, and the sadness of it, and the melancholy and the beauty of it, the hope in it too. So I think that's probably why people from all backgrounds resonate with it and just say, what a powerful song.
Beautifully put. That's so lovely.
A Change Is Gonna Come by Sam Cooke.
Sam Cooke on Today FM. A Change Is Gonna Come, as chosen by Declan O'Rourke. And Declan, a song you said you'd like played at your funeral. I've got a question on funeral music for you. Mm. Were you at Shane McGowan's funeral?
I was.
Tell me about that.
Well, I sang with Imelda May and Liam O'Mainley. And basically, I think I got a call from Imelda. It was the funeral was on the Friday. I got a call from Imelda, a text on the Wednesday, and saying, will you sing a song with me on Friday? And I said, of course I will. Where is it? What is it? And that's what it turned out to be. So it was a song of Shane's, his own song, and Imelda picked it.
But when you think back, I suppose that funeral for a lot of Irish people, you know, they shared a lot of it publicly. There was a live stream, if I remember correctly, and people, you know, it was almost like a concert. How important do you think for Irish people is that idea of music at a funeral?
Oh, I think you can't take them apart. I think it is absolutely intrinsic in our culture. Funerals aside, even, it's very, very part of who we are, isn't it? I remember at an uncle of mine's funeral, and he was in a wicker basket, and at the wake we were singing, and at the end of the night, like, the coffin was shaking, you know? And the idea of the wake, and you're waking somebody, and it's something that's just in people.
Was there a great healing within the world of music and for Irish musicians at Shane's funeral, when you all got up and sang together and had those moments covering his tracks or playing your own or whatever it was?
There was a beautiful sense of chaos and a celebration of somebody's life, really, which is, I suppose, no more or less than we all deserve, you know.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Declan, on we go again with another song choice. And I'm happy to say this is one of your more edgy choices. We're coming out of the doldrums and the deepness, and we're ready to rock it out with you.
Very good. Back in Black by AC/DC. Yes, it's definitely, it's not one you'd typically put into the list of greatest songs of all time. But, you know, I mean, it is just a absolutely rocking song. The backstory to this one also is, you know, they had just lost their singer, mm-hmm. Bon Scott. Scott had died, you're talking 1982, and they came back, you know, 2 years later, or maybe less, maybe a year later or something, with this album and this song. What an answer, you know, to come mm-hmm. back with a new singer. No other band, to my knowledge, has ever so successfully replaced their lead singer or front man and went on to thrive. But they did it, and you know, it's like the poetry of it. The new singer comes back singing as if he's the old guy.
Yeah,
I'm back. You know, it's just brilliant. I mean, it's so daring, but there was a real seriousness to it as well, and just they believed in it. I think, you know.
Yeah, like a reincarnation a revisioning of,
you know, just. Passing on, I mean, I think they have a kind of a satanic shtick, you know, mm-hmm. which is, it's pastiche, it's just a joke. But, you know, behind that, they obviously really took this very seriously, that, you know, that they were carrying on. And the lovely other part about it was they auditioned singers from around the world, and this guy was the guy, Brian Johnson, who took over, was he was kind of a club singer from Manchester, but Bon Scott had seen him somewhere on stage, mm-hmm. and he had said to the other lads in the band, "I saw this singer last night, best thing I ever seen," and something along the lines of, "If there was ever somebody to replace me or whatever, this would be the guy." This is a funny part of it. He had seen the guy crawling around on the stage while he was singing with the microphone and kind of like almost like he was having a fit. And later when Brian Johnson was asked about it, he said, "My appendix had actually burst that night and I was in agony. I was on the ground actually writhing around and singing." But, you know, he thought it was part of the act. So it helped get him the gig.
Yeah.
You know.
Brilliant. Well, Declan O'Rourke, introduce your next song, please.
Back in Black by AC/DC.
AC/DC, Back in Black on Today FM. You are listening to Declan O'Rourke, The Takeover, the songs that shaped you, Declan. Talk to me about your next song choice. When I see this song, I think about social change, I think about justice and equality, I think about all of those things. And maybe, as we mentioned earlier, the fact that so many of these themes still really resonate in 2026 and how frustrating that can be.
Yeah, I mean, every song I've picked so far comes from another era, doesn't it? None of them are modern, but they are songs that have stood the test of time for various reasons. When I was a kid, my parents listened to a lot of stuff. They were very eclectic, and there was lots of Motown and kind of soul, or just things that were current. The Beatles, like I said, a lot of great traditional Irish music, which I didn't include any of, which was,
I was surprised to see that, because I did want to ask about growing up in Dublin and having musical parents. Were you a big music house?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There was music on every day, you know, and lots of, yeah, we do a great collection of records and tapes and what have you. So it was always on, and Sundays especially.
Really?
Sundays especially. Sunday was a music day, I suppose, you know.
Would your mother or father have sung a song?
They definitely both sang at family gatherings, yeah. Any kind of do or hooli or whatever.
Session.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What were your parents' songs?
My mother sung The Lakes of Pontchartrain a lot, but my dad, what would my dad sing? He would sing ballads a lot, but even heard him sing Ness and Dorma once and blew us.
Go away.
I've said it many times, my father's voice and my brother's voice, speaking of male voices alone in our house, would sing me under the table.
Go on.
But he sang Ness and Dorma once, and we started laughing because he just went off on this is a joke. And he kept going, and you're going, he's laughing more than I'm thinking, he's never going to get to the end of this word. He's going to have to accept failure at some stage. And he didn't. He kept going, and he got to the point where, whoa, you know, the room shook.
Wow.
And it was, you know, just a thrilling. I'm one of these people who thinks anybody can sing or play music if you apply yourself to it over a period of time.
Yeah.
We're all born as babies who can't talk or walk, and we all learn. And the more you do, the more you apply yourself to something, the better you get at it.
I really want to believe that so much. I really do, because I'd love to be able to sing more than anything. Declan, I can't tell you how much I love a session at the end of the night, and I genuinely can't sing, but I will still make it my business to sing a song just to be part of it all badly. Do your kids have music?
Yeah, I have two boys. One is 19 and one is 8. 19-year-old has never really been really interested in playing something, but he actually told me recently he might fancy getting a guitar now.
Very good.
My younger boy is mad about music, and he's banging away on everything. Electric guitar and cello and drums and piano. And so he might get into it.
Class.
You know, yeah.
What do they make of your music?
I think I'd be putting them on the spot to answer that, you know. Yeah. They tell me they love it. You know.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
It'll all be well and good until they get married and they have you playing Galileo at the wedding. Which, by the way, it was voted as the 35th best song on our 100 Greatest Irish Countdown. And the amount of people across the country who had it as their first dance. Including the boss of Today FM, by the way.
Oh, is that right? Well, I'm honoured, obviously, and waiting for the check.
But no, I'm joking.
If I had, seriously, a pound or whatever for every wedding, the amount of weddings I turned down getting asked to sing it because I can't do that, I'd be, we won't get into that. It's a really great honour. It really is. It's lovely.
Well, there's no doubt about it. Look, it's a song that I think so many people love and it's super special in their lives. We're going to play this Bob Marley song. Will you introduce it for us, Declan?
Get Up, Stand Up, yeah. So the other reason, apart from it being a great protest song, the amount of sounds going on in Bob Marley's music, I always thought, you know, when you get asked that question, living or dead, what concert would you like to see? I always pick Bob Marley because I love how there's so much beautiful stimulation going on. I'll say no more. We'll just let her play now. Get up and stand up, everybody.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right.
Oh, what a great song selection.
You cannot help but move.
Sure you can't.
Can you?
No.
I think that's the first one we've played, Bourbon.
Bopping.
Just the heads are going.
Yeah.
All those sounds. It's incredible, isn't it?
I think you hit the nail on the head when you said it's one that makes you want to move. Are you a good dancer? Are you a mover?
Not really, no. No, honestly, that's a talent I don't have.
Now, I'm going to...
I mean, I always thought
I'll
I had a couple
with your
of
own,
moves, but...
with your own argument. Everyone can dance, Dick, if they start young enough.
True.
Right. And you know what? I could chat to you all day. I feel you're such a deep thinker and I'm really enjoying this. So on we go to Iceland next.
To Iceland. Yeah. I do like a little bit of Björk and I think she really pushed the boundaries of music and it's a beautiful kind of meeting of old school music and the capabilities of modern technology and music. She really is a brilliant artist. This was on a record in the mid-90s, I think, Hyper Ballad. And it's a great name for a song. It really, it describes it well. It's kind of a ballad, but in futuristic kind of sense. What it's about, I do not know really, but it's kind of abstract, but sounds
totally,
a bit, bit kind of, she's dealing with, you know, anxieties and all kinds of...
It's emotional, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Complex.
But that's, you know, that's great. That's what expression is about too, you know?
Big time. Have you been to Reykjavik?
I have a couple of times. I've played in Reykjavik a couple of times. Great little town. It's beautiful, yeah.
It's amazing. Yeah. When I saw you'd chosen that song, actually, I was laughing because I was making a TV show with TG Cahir in Reykjavik a few years ago. This now is going to show the difference between us, Dec, right? But I'd been gifted a pair of, like, as you do, I'd been gifted a pair of metallic pink trousers, okay? And I thought, where better to
Love
wear
it.
Them than in Reykjavik, filming for TG Cahir. And I was walking down, like, you know, towards that, what's the beautiful white church in the middle of the town? Isn't it? It's at the top of the town.
Yes.
The main street.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
I should be able to know
is
the
that
name
a concert
of it.
Hall, no?
I think it's an actual church.
Okay, right, sorry.
It's like one of the main... Yeah. I know I went in and lit a candle anyway, but as I was walking, I had Björk in my ears. I was listening to Hyper Ballad with my, like, futuristic metallic pink trousers. And I was like, what a gas world. I don't know if any of this makes
sense.
I thought
you were going to say Björk came up to you and says, what are you doing wearing pink trousers in the middle of...
Well, would you believe I went into that lovely record store and somebody... I met a Cork man, Cullum. I'm sure you know him.
Cullum,
he's a producer
Cullum
there.
Early up
a
there,
great fella. He was like, you could see Björk walking around in a pair of trousers like that.
You see, he must be the only Irish man in,
in Reykjavik.
In Reykjavik, and we're all attracted to him like a magnet. You know? He actually brought me up there to play. That's how I ended up there. Yeah. But he said you could bump into her sometimes. There's a little bar. They've often had sessions where they'd be dancing at the end of the night. You'd be dancing with Björk or whatever.
Iceland's a small L spot. It's actually
it
not, though.
Phrase.
You know, there's five islands can fit into Iceland.
I did not know that.
There you go.
See, I'm learning. You're a deep thinker.
I don't know. Okay. Well, let's play this next track, Declan O'Rourke. You may introduce her.
Hyper Ballad by Bjork.
Today FM. Oh, you know, we need more Bjork on Today FM. I love the complexity of all of that.
And isn't it great?
It is so great. Yeah. Bit of escapism, Declan.
Yeah.
Your last song choice, and I love the full circle moment here because this is another nod to your father.
It was, and I didn't mean to for that to happen, but also I should say the beautiful female singers in my family too. I tend to give the boys a bit of extra mileage in that sense, but probably because when we're comparing to my voice, that's how it happens naturally.
How many of ye are there?
Two girls, two boys.
Would you ever think of doing something with the family or with your brothers?
I don't. Well, we tried a couple of times to sing a duet, believe it or not. And it's quite, no, it didn't work. probably because he's a better singer than me and I couldn't hack that.
Like, I love the humanity. That's the Ballyfermot now bringing you back down to earth. We'd never manage it. Your last choice, Declan.
Thinking of the greatest songs or pieces of music of all time, I couldn't not, and it may seem a bit cliche to pick something like this, but it is just such a powerful song. And it makes the hair stand up on your neck every time you hear it. So Pavarotti singing Nessun Dorma.
Quite literally out on a high, Declan O'Rourke. Oh, well, I mean, come on, Pavarotti on Today FM. I would give anything to hear that song in a Clondalkin accent. Declan, there's a lot going on in your life. There's an album tour. Tell us a little bit about what's exciting you.
Yeah, new record called Oceanic. I'm very excited about, and it's going to be out around October. And I made it in Australia last year. Some of my best work, of course, you know. Say that with a grin, but I am very excited about it. I had really just a great time making this, and there's a tour to accompany it, an Irish tour to accompany it in October and November. Dates are on sale now, and
buy your tickets.
Buy your tickets,
Declan. Curve Mila Mahagot Vishishin on a Hanavach. I really enjoyed that hour of music.
Gura Mahagot, Louise, and thank you very much for having me in. It was a pleasure to talk to you and play music. Louise Kentelin on Today FM.